12 years ago, the Heart and Stroke Society, or Heart and Stroke Foundation, pushed the federal government to ban trans fat, not to discourage it, not to launch a public education campaign saying, hey, you know what, these are some of the health risks that we link to trans fat, but to ban it altogether. Now, they're claiming victory, and I'm not sure when you advocate something 12 years before anyone implements it that you can claim you are responsible for it. But at the same time, they're happy with the outcome nonetheless. The health minister announced Friday that the final step to ban partially hydrogenated oils in all foods will be implemented next year. So now, these are ingredients that have been vilified in many cases. And to be honest, most companies that I'm aware of, certainly large-scale food producers, will promote that they don't use trans fat because there is such a tarring of the term trans fat. And this is, I think, a really interesting force at play here. This is the market responding to a demand from consumers to have healthier products. Therefore, producers will say, hey, you know what, we're giving you something that's free of trans fat. But it is still in a lot of foods. And as of next year, that's going to be outlawed, as the government tries to ensure that Canadians stay healthy, get healthy, and eschew unhealthy choices. Now, this move has been critiqued and criticized by the Consumer Choice Center, which says it is hurting consumers in the end, not just hurting producers, but actually hurting consumers. David Clement, who is the North American Affairs Manager for said institution, joins me on the line now. David, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you for having me on, Andrew.
So what do you make of the war on trans fat here?
I mean, it's important here to note, I think the biggest thing, a lot of people don't realize, so trans fats are used primarily to add taste and texture and to extend the shelf life of foods like cookies, pastries, donuts, muffins, snack foods, fried foods, etc. So the reason why they're used is that they're traditionally cheaper than the alternatives, or those alternatives also carry health risks with them. So it's, in short, we're against the proposed ban for three kind of main reasons. The first is that, I mean, this is a mandate on the food service industry saying that they have to use alternatives. Those alternatives are going to increase costs, and that ultimately gets passed down to consumers. So, I mean, alternatives to trans fats are things like butter, which is very expensive because of supply management. Lard from animals, expensive vegetable oils like palm or coconut oil. So, I mean, that's the first reason why a policy like this is not necessarily worth applauding, is because it is going to add those additional costs. Those costs are going to be passed down to consumers, and it's ultimately going to be ordinary people who have to pay the price for that.
But then you've got in the CBC here a story saying that researchers estimate that this ban could prevent 12,000 heart attacks in Canada over 20 years. Now, I haven't reviewed that particular study, so that may be where there are issues that are raised there. But if you're saying that the negative of this ban is that consumers have to pay a little bit more, and they're saying, hey, we're saving lives and reducing 12,000 heart attacks, a lot of people would say that is worth it.
A lot of people would say that's worth it, but there's two additional points that need to be pointed out in response to the claim that it's going to reduce heart attacks by that much. So the first is that as of 2014, 97% of the Canadian food supply was already trans fat free. So we're not talking about this epidemic where trans fats are in all of our foods and there's this widespread use of trans fats. It's something that is now selectively used, most likely for reasons, like I said above, taste, texture, and shelf life. So it's not this epidemic that it's being portrayed to be. We've seen consumer preferences and we've seen industry behavior shift as a response to those consumer preferences significantly since 2002. The second thing is, in terms of general health, so we're looking at something like obesity, this ban does absolutely nothing to curb overconsumption. So it's arbitrarily going after one ingredient that's only in 3% of the food supply, but does nothing really to address other issues surrounding unhealthy lifestyles. So it's very similar to the soft drink tax, taxing a product that we know doesn't have great effects on your health, but that only accounts for 5% of the average Canadian's caloric intake. So really, very, very, very small impact on general health. And so I think those things need to be noted when we look at a staggering figure. Let's say we're going to reduce heart attacks by upwards of 10,000 heart attacks over X amount of years. At the end of the day, in terms of general health, obesity, and all of the issues that are related to those issues, we're really not going to see this ban have any effect or any positive impact on those outcomes.
One thing as well that I think is worth noting here is that Canada already mandates transparency of ingredients, including trans fats, saturated fats as well, on labels. So it's not as though this is being put in foods, the small minority foods that have trans fats in them, in a sneaky or clandestine way. It's entirely openly disclosed what's in food. And that's why I think in a lot of cases it has been so successful already, the market and its influence on declaring war on trans fat. And people can dispute or really dissect whatever research is out on there. But I think that has been because consumers have wanted it. And it seems like the government is pretty late to the party here.
Absolutely. I mean, and that raises some questions. If we're seeing consumers and industry respond appropriately and shift behavior, do we really want, or do we really need to expand the size and scope of government over something that is now so rarely used in the food industry? I just think it's just a gross misappropriation of care, or misappropriation of government time and resource to have Health Canada going after companies domestically, but also imports that may or may not contain trans fats. And so it just seems, it seems like a lot of bluster. It seems very symbolic in terms of declaring a win for public health. But at the end of the day, I really don't see this translating into health outcomes that ordinary people would see as a victory or worth it in terms of the amount of time and energy that's required to actually implement a ban like this.
One major problem that I have, and I know this has been said by other people about MSG, which when that was something that was subjected to as much criticism, a lot of which isn't rooted in science, but that's another discussion, it really carved out a lot of space in the market, or carved out a lot of the market, rather, because of so many foreign foods that have MSG as being a central ingredient. And that's a problem here as well. This isn't just to foods produced in Canada. This is to anything imported in Canada. So all of a sudden, if we want to remain competitive and give Canadians access to the global marketplace of food products, we now expect companies in other countries and other countries to play by a rule that we've set out. And that's very damaging when we look at, first off, I mean, having access to food from around the world, which I think is a great privilege of living in Canada, but also the competition element there.
Yeah, absolutely. It puts our consumers at a significant disadvantage because it now will eliminate foods from all over the world that may contain, let's say, small, even small amounts of trans fats. And so immediately, the products that are offered to consumers from kind of the global food industry is diminished, and that's damaging for consumer choice. Ultimately, we want to empower adults to make informed decisions, but at the end of the day, we have to respect those adult decisions. And this is the real concern for me, is that just a few weeks ago, she's now former health minister, but Minister Philpott was being pressed about the negative health repercussions of legalizing marijuana. And she said, at the end of the day, we have to respect adult decisions, even if adults choose to harm themselves. And I almost wanted to get out of my seat and burst in applause, because finally there was a sliver of sanity coming from the government. And then at the same time, in every other aspect of life, they're getting the government involved, they're banning, they're eliminating packaging, they're applying all sorts of heavy-handed regulations to what are otherwise regular adult decisions. And so I just wish that they would have that consistent approach and quit acting like our parent at every corner.
This raises a really important question here, in that where do you think that line should be drawn at what potentially unhealthy or harmful things consumers should have access to, if at all?
I mean, I think so long as ingredients are disclosed, so in the sense that companies are not committing fraud, I think that if there is transparency there, that we have to allow for adults to make informed decisions. We already do this with far more dangerous products like alcohol. And I'll give you an example. I can go into the LCBO and technically purchase what would otherwise be the lethal dosage of, let's say, vodka or rum. And the government is selling me that and actually allowing for that transaction to take place. And so, for the most part, nobody wants to ban alcohol. I mean, there are probably some trigger-happy bureaucrats who would love to continue to limit the alcohol industry. But my point here is that we allow for adults to have the ability to make all sorts of decisions. And so I think so long as things are transparent and fraud is not taking place, that adults should be free to consume the products that they choose, so long as consuming that doesn't hurt other people. It may be harming themselves if they're overindulging or things like that, but realistically, that's a health issue on the personal level. That is not necessarily the business of government.
So I guess this brings up the most important question moving forward here, which is, do you think there is a concern with a slippery slope here? And I know that people will oftentimes reject the slippery slope argument, saying that you're bringing in factors that aren't really at play here. But the concern that I have is if they're going after trans fat, you know, let's look 40 years down the road. Refined sugar could be the ingredient that's vilified, and all of a sudden you can't use any product that has anything other than natural cane sugar. And when you're deciding that we're going to move the goalposts from where they already are, it doesn't take much imagination to see how much room there is for them to continue with that.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, we've seen. So I fully understand people on the other side who may not take the slippery slope argument seriously, but if we look at what we've seen in real time, we've seen the government implement branding bans on an entire category of products.
Yeah, and that's not even an ingredient.
No, that's an entire category of a product, which is with tobacco. And then not much later, we saw Public Health Ontario propose the idea of putting graphic warnings, so tobacco-style labeling warnings, on alcohol. So you go and pick up your 2-4 Molson Canadian and it has some poor man who's sick because he has cirrhosis of the liver or something on it. So, I mean, we're seeing this trend in real time. So I think that it's people who dismiss that argument have the blinders on in terms of where we're actually seeing the government suggest that it implement further regulation or further taxation.
Joining me on the line is David Clement, North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. David, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Andrew.
All right. All the best. When we come back in a couple of moments, what do you think about this? Most people would say, well, I don't buy products with trans fat anyway, so it doesn't matter. To be honest, I think that underscores the very point David was making, that we don't need a government to ban something because so many people already don't consume it and so many producers already take it out of their products because they know people don't want it. So the ones that are putting it in, the foods that do have it, the thing that it does provide, which is perhaps an enhanced taste or texture or shelf life, can still be there in those small markets and those small areas where it might fit with what a producer wants to do. When we come back, your calls on this, 519-643-2222, 519-643-2222. This is the Andrew Lawton Show here on AM 980.